come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2015 Women's Bible Study in the Book of Mark, titled Servant, Sacrifice, Savior. If you'd like more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for our opportunity, Lord, to serve you, to love you, to lay our whole lives down, Lord, to be prisoners of hope, that we would be wholly and completely surrendered to you. Lord, that our lives would be so turned over to you, Lord, that there would be no confusion as to where we stand. We are coming into a day. We know, Lord, the days that we live in are evil. We know that we are in the last days, that your coming is nigh, even at the door. We know, Father, that you have called us to something more. You have called us to stand for the things that you tell us to stand for. And Lord, cause us to go to our knees. Father, I just thank you. I thank you. I pray, Lord, that every word that's spoken would be from you. I pray, God, that you would be that you'd be glorified at the end of the day. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you one thing about this retreat at their afterglow. I mean, it was amazing. It wasn't amazing singing. It wasn't amazing what people said. It was amazing that God did what he did. And at one point, someone came up and read a scripture from Isaiah, and this little gal up in the front, they were all at tables, and so the little gal up front, the minute she heard the first part of that, she immediately left her seat down to her knees, her head to the floor. She was just so, that word was so for her, and she just was like, oh God, you know, it was just, talk about crying. It was amazing, and I know it was because of you guys' prayers. So last week did not record, and because last week did not record, we're just going to recap a little bit of last week's lesson and go on to what we are on today. So starting with verse 46 of Mark 14, we'll just go over a few things. I'm sure you covered all of these things in your small groups, but perhaps not. And so we have here that they laid hands on him, verse 46, and took him. One of those who stood by drew the sword. We know that that was Peter who drew the sword, cut off Malchus's ear, and then Jesus healed it. We know that from another, from Matthew, I believe. And then Jesus answered and said to them, why in the world are you coming to take me? We're talking about 150 men that came to take Jesus. Why would you come and bring all of these people here to get me? I've been in the temple every day. Why would you do this? Because they were fearful of him. That's why they did that. And then all of the disciples forsook him. Now, in verse 51, I wanted you to just look at that for a moment. Now, a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and the young men laid hold of him. He left the linen cloth, and he fled from them naked. Who is this person? This person is John Mark. This person is the person who wrote this book of Mark. He was approximately 12 years old at the time, and he had apparently was in his home, maybe in bed, maybe had just gotten out of a bath or whatever, but he grabbed something. He heard all of the ruckus going on over at the Garden of Gethsemane. He wants to know what's going on. He runs out of the house. He goes over there wrapped in a sheet or whatever, and they try to grab him, and as they try to grab him, he loses the sheet and runs back home, gets away from them and running back home. Mark's house would later be used a number of times as a meeting place. Mark's parents' house would be used as a place of meeting in the future. And so we have him left there. He led Jesus away. The high priest with him were assembled, all the chief priests, the elders, and so forth. Peter followed from afar. He followed from afar, and so because he followed from afar, he found himself warming at the fires of the enemy. And so we have this situation, and we need to be careful in our own lives that we don't follow Jesus from afar. He says for us to follow closely behind him, not from afar. But this I will say for Peter, he followed. He still followed. He didn't give up. And the chief priests and the council gave testimony, verse 55, verse 56. They bore false witness. They couldn't even come up with sayings that were right, that agreed with one another, verse 59. And so they had these witnesses against him. And the high priest, verse 60, the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it? These men testifying against you? Aren't you going to talk about anything?" But Jesus kept silent because he is a lamb being led to the slaughter at this point. So he has nothing to say. Again, the high priest says, "Are you the Christ?" Verse 61. "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus says, "I am. I am that person that you were talking about. I am the Son of Man." Putting together that he is fully human and fully God at this particular time. And so we have him there in that place, sitting, and he says, "You're going to see that happening. You're going to see me sitting at the right hand of the power or of God and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes. What happened when he tore his clothes? He was saying what was about to happen. He has just now said, "I'm done with this." And it was in the same way that when Jesus would say, "It is finished," from the cross, then the curtain would, and we'll get to it, the curtain will go, will split from the top to the bottom, opening up the Holy of Holies, opening up that space for everyone to enter in, to right into that throne room. And so you heard the blasphemy. And they all condemned him, and then some began to spit on him. And verse 65, to blindfold him, to beat him, and to say to him, "Prophesy," and the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. These are the religious leaders that are doing this to Jesus, the religious leaders. We need to pay attention to that. Make sure that our hearts are in such a place so close to Jesus that we're not putting him through all of this again. And then Peter was below in the courtyard, and then we have that whole scenario. He's done the things three times. He will deny the Lord before the cock crows. Before the cock crows two times, and then we see in verse 71. He even began to curse and swear, "I don't even know this man." And at that time, the rooster crowed. Now, here's the thing about this, that the rooster crowed at that particular time. Roosters were not allowed in Jerusalem. They were not allowed in Jerusalem because they made such a mess. And so they weren't allowed to be in there. What is this rooster doing in there? For him to hear, it was all set up. Jesus knew. And it was even more apparent to Peter now that this is what Jesus had talked about. And then it says, and when he thought about it, he wept. He didn't just cry. There weren't just tears coming down. It means sorrowing from the deepest part of your being. Sobbing. You've been in that place where you've lost something or you've lost somebody and you can't even breathe, you're crying so hard. This is where Peter was at. Peter was in a hopeless place. There was no chance in his mind that Jesus and him would ever see each other or ever be together again, that he would ever be able to travel with him, that anything good would happen with Peter and Jesus. Poor Peter was hopeless. But we'll see later, that's why Jesus said, after his resurrection, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm here. He included Peter in there. He wanted to make sure, do you think all of the other disciples said, you know, Peter did this thing. Do you think that they put him under condemnation as well? I think they did. I don't have anything to back that up. I just know how we are as people. And there's a possibility of that. And so then we have that situation. And so immediately, chapter 15, immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him to Pilate. They bound Jesus. Again, did he not willingly go with them? Was he fighting them? Was there a need to bind him? But it is, look who are binding him. Chief priests held the consultation, elders and scribes, and the whole council, and they bound him. Again, we have the religious leaders binding up, if you will, Jesus. We as Christians and we as leaders need to be careful and pay attention that we don't cause someone else to see that we are trying to keep back what Jesus wants to do. Because God wants to do a mighty thing, and he still wants to do a mighty thing amongst us. And so they led him away as a sheep unto the slaughter, and they delivered him to Pilate. Now Pilate was on his last leg. Pilate, as far as the leaders over Pilate are concerned, this is your last chance. He had already set up a situation where he had allowed Caesar, a picture of Caesar, to be put on the Temple Mount. And the Jews didn't like it, and so they rebelled and they rioted. A few months later, after that, he realized he needed to build the aqueduct that went through Jerusalem there to provide water for them. And where did he get the money from? The Jewish treasury, the temple treasury. They rioted again. Now he has another situation. They have told him, one more time and you are out. It gives real meaning to the things when we see further why he was a people pleaser. Because his job was on the line. His income was on the line. Who he was on the line. And it's important that we notice that. And then Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, and this is all that we have that Jesus said to him, it is as you say. Yes, you are exactly right. It is as you say. And that is the last time that Jesus will speak to him. Verse 3, and the chief priest accused him of many things, and he answered nothing. The chief priests are accusing him of things. The religious leaders are saying that he's too religious, that he's claiming to be God. Pilate's saying he's political, he's too political, he wants to take over my spot. And so here we have, he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you? But Jesus still, verse 5, answering nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Can you see it? This is a guy who has gone through all kinds of, there have been riots, there's been things on what he's done, he's trying to save his job, and here he has opportunity to perhaps save this man, but this man will not stand for himself. And Pilate doesn't know how to handle it. He's used to people just putting up a big fight. And so this impacts Pilate at this particular time. Verse 6, now at the feast, that is the Passover, He was accustomed to releasing, Pilate that is, was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas. Barabbas means son of the father, son of the father for Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. He was a revolutionist. He was an insurrectionist. He would kill anybody for anything. He was most likely part of the riots. He was most likely part of the beginnings of the riots. This is the one. And so he thought, okay, I'll offer him up. He was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. And then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. So they're doing a setup. They're doing a setup for Pilate. We want you to do exactly what we're asking you to do because we don't have we are unable to do it. They were unable to crucify someone. And they wanted to make sure that this Jesus was dead. And they didn't have that. So verse 9, but Pilate answered them saying, do you want me to release the king of the Jews? Feeling inside, of course you do. You want me to release the king of the Jews, right? We got Barabbas here, who's an insurrectionist, revolutionist. He's a murderer. He's everything. And over here, we have the king of the Jews. How about we release the king of the Jews? Can you see it? In his head, oh, yeah, they're going to say, king of the Jews, yeah. Because he knew, verse 10, that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. Because of jealousy. That's why he was handed over. Envy and jealousy will do weird things to us. Make us say stupid things. Make us look stupid. And I don't even use that word stupid. But that's what jealousy and envy will do to us if we allow it to take a foothold. And we need to be free of it. But the chief priests... Now you see this. I want you to start picturing this whole situation. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Release Barabbas. We want Barabbas, 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 Barabbas. The whole group. Can you see it happening? You've probably seen it in a movie, but use your imagination right now. Don't think of the movie. Think about standing in that crowd. And hearing that. Release Barabbas, Barabbas. Pilate answered and said to them, what then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews? This is on you guys. You call him king of the Jews. That's how I got that name. You called him that. And so they cried out again, crucify him! You're in the crowd. You're in the crowd right now. And you're hearing it. Crucify him! And Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! You know how it goes. They keep saying it. So Pilate, wanting to be a people pleaser, wanting to gratify the crowd, wanting to keep his job, wanting to keep his position, wanting to stay where he's at, he released Barabbas to them. I was wondering, as I was studying this, I wonder, just a passing thought, I wonder if Barabbas ever came to know Jesus. I think there's that possibility. I think a work of the Holy Spirit might have worked in him where he could see what was going on and he could be set free from his sins. And he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him. He had scourged him. What is scourging? The most painful of all beatings. The cat of nine tails. The whip that had... pieces of rock and pieces of metal and pieces of glass and pieces of things on the ends of it so that when he was whipped, it ripped the flesh right off of his back. right off of his body, maybe even his arms, because it would wrap around and just rip off. This is what Jesus did for us. I don't mean to be gross, but ladies, we need to recognize what it was that happened. This is what Jesus did for us. Body being torn, the flesh being torn off of his body. Why? Why did he have to be scourged? Why did this have to happen? Because Isaiah 53:5 says that he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. He went through it so that I can be healed. He went through that pain, that suffering, the humility, so that I can be healed. And then he was on his way to be crucified. And then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole garrison. Hey, guys, come on over. Look what we got over here. He's already been beaten. He's already bloody. Come on, guys, let's have some more fun. Verse 17, and they clothed him with purple, representing the royalty that he really deserved. It's the royalty. But they were mocking him. And they put this purple on his bloody back, his bloody body. And they twisted a crown of thorns, like the one that's out there on the table, if you noticed. They twisted it, and then they didn't just put it on the head. They pushed it onto the head. So now he's bleeding from his forehead and his head. His back is covered with blood soaking through the purple. And they began, verse 18, to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews, mocking him. And then they struck him on the head with a reed. They spat on him. They spat on him. He's been beaten, flesh pulled off of his body. Crown of thorns on his head. And that's not enough. They spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshiped him. They mockingly worshiped him. Because of what had happened earlier on in where they hit him with the open hand and all of that, he already has black eyes. His face is already swollen. Being blindfolded, not knowing who was hitting him, not being ready for the hit. He's already unrecognizable as a man, let alone as the Jesus that they knew. And when they had mocked him, verse 20, they took the purple off him. Okay. They put this purple on top of his bloody back. The blood was coming through the fabric. He was bleeding so much. And now it's sticking to his body. And they rip it off. Yet more pain. Yet more suffering. And he's not even gotten to the cross yet. This is what Jesus did for us. They put on his own clothes and they led him out to crucify him. Now he has to walk. Next week we'll get into the rest of the story. Jesus didn't just lay down his life for us. He made a way for us to be prisoners of hope. He made a way, he opened the door that we might be completely surrendered to him. That we don't have to die for our own sins. Make no mistake, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have pain. But none of us have ever suffered to this point. I don't think. No. This is what Jesus did for us. And I know this is kind of a low note for us to end our study on today, but there are times when we need to look at the seriousness of what Jesus did for us. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Yes, at a cost. Freedom is not free, not in our country and not in our salvation. And we need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we take things for granted. We take advantage. Can I sell out my whole self for Jesus when I remember what he's done, gone through, what he's done for me? Father, thank you, Lord, for the things that you suffered on our behalf, that we might be set free, that we might stand before the Father, the Lord, that we might serve you, the servant, our Savior, our sacrifice for us to be set free. We thank you, Lord, and we take it very, very seriously that there was a cost. And so, Lord, we continue to pray for our nation, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask you, God, that you would set us free from the things of this world that so easily beset us and cause us to walk in a way that's displeasing to you. Father, I pray that you would break the chains that bind us sometimes. And Lord, when you have broken those chains, we don't get out the soldering gun to put it back together. You break every chain, and we are thankful. I pray for every person who calls themselves Christ-like by calling themselves Christians in this United States, that they would fall to their knees and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways so that you can forgive our sins and heal our lands. And we thank you, Lord. We are blessed to be in your presence. We will never take it for granted again. Probably we will. Help us not to ever take it for granted again. We love you, Lord, and we are thankful. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.